We're holding on Choftes Amud Aleph, a little bit past the, actually about two thirds of the way down the, about two thirds of the way down the Amud, line begins Kasavar. We're in the middle of discussing, the Mishnah had said that a father has the ability to make his son, to make his young son a Nazir by saying, you are a Nazir, or by telling him that he should say, I'm a Nazir, whatever. And that works. And the son is considered a full-fledged Nazir until he becomes a Gadol, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Once he develops Shtei Sairus, then the father no longer has that ability. And he said, on the other hand, even during that time, if the son or one of the relatives, there's a discussion among Achronim just how close these relatives have to be, but anyway, if the son or one of the relatives protests by shaving his hair or by doing other things that demonstrate that they don't want the Nazirus, then the Nazirus goes away. It's comparable to the case of a child who's made a ger, where we know that when the child becomes 13 or 12 for a girl, then they have a right to be moicha. So here it's the same kind of thing. If the child or the relatives are moicha, if the child is moicha or the relatives are moicha on their behalf, then the nezirus doesn't take effect. So we've been discussing what the basis for this is. How is it that a father has this ability anyway? Rabbi Yochanan had said it's a special halacha on Moshe Sinai that applies to nezirus, and Rish Lakish had said that it's in order to educate him in mitzvahs. It's part of the general mitzvah of chinuch that a father has to his son. So this is also part of chinuch. It is true, of course, that it's a bit of an unusual kind of chinuch in the sense that it's not something that the son is going to necessarily be doing again and again when he gets older. But the chinuch is basically, as the Rosh said, propitious, that he teaches the son to have this tendency to be able to hold yourself back from something for a month at a time. Anyway, so we've been going through a number of different things. If we say that it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, then we understand certain features of the din. But if we say that it's because of the mitzvah of chinuch, then how would those be explained? And we went through one by one and explained. So now here's another one. So Bishlim a little Yechanan, Dama Halacha he ben Nazir. I understand the coin to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that it's a halacha l'moshe v'sinai by a Nazir. Ahochi, well, therefore, ki mitame. So now, if the boy becomes Tomei, maisi korban siporin, ba'ochel koyin malika. Then what's going to happen? Like any Nazir Tomei, he's going to be bringing three korbanos, of which two are birds. And as usual with bird korbanos, the koyin is going to be doing malika on them. And then the chatas, the two birds are a chatas on an oila, and the koyin is going to be eating the bird one as he usually would with any chatas oif. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, fine. The whole concept that this boy is a nazir, unless there's a macha, is daraisa. It's halacha l'moshe v'sinai. Therefore, the korbanos are being brought like the korbanos of any other nazir, and the usual rules that apply to the korbanos of a nazir apply. One of them being that again, that the that one of the birds is going to be a chatas, and the kohenim are going to do malika to it and eat it. Ela l'Rabbi Yosi ber Chanina, Amar Rish Lakish, haka acham nevela. But isn't there a problem according to Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, in the name of Rish Lakish, doesn't it then come out that the Kohenim are eating Nevela? So in other words, because Malika is not Shchita, Malika doesn't follow the usual rules of Shchita. Shchita has to be done with a knife, Malika is done with the Kohen's fingernail, Shchita is done from the front of the neck, Malika is done from the back of the neck, so they're nothing the same. So usually eating such a bird would be, usually as such a bird, if you didn't malika to it, would be nevela, and it would be also to eat. The Gemara elsewhere mentions, in fact, and we've talked about it before, that there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says the Kohenim are not allowed to eat nevela or trefa, and the Chacham were wondering why Yechezkel says such a thing. We know any Yid's not allowed to eat nevela or trefa, until it was explained that it means that since there's this exception for Kohenim to be able to eat nevela, what would normally be nevela, when it comes to a chatas oif, you would think that maybe in general they're allowed to eat nevela, and therefore Yechezkel comes and stresses that it's not so. Anyway, the point is, though, so according to Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, in the name of Resh Lakish, then if the whole thing is only Dirabanan, again, the Chachamim are not able to tell you to do something that the Torah says is also. It's one thing if it was Shev Val Tase, but here it's not. Here the Pashtos, they're saying that that we do everything the way that it's normally done for the way it's normally done for a Nazir, which includes that if he becomes Tomei, the Kohenim are going to eat the Schatas. So how does that work? The answer is, Kasavar Kirab Yosef of Yehuda De'en Shechit Al Oifin HaTorah. The answer is, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina holds two things. Number one, he holds, like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that a bird does not require shechita min haTorah. There's a discussion about this in Cholin. Everybody agrees, of course, that land animals need shechita. Everybody agrees that fish and locusts do not. There's a machlokas over there in Cholin whether birds require shechita min haTorah or not. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina will hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says that really birds don't require shechita min haTorah anyhow. So min haTorah, it's a malika would be good enough in order to eat a bird. The cholin bazar alav da'oraisa. And further, like we said yesterday, that he would also hold that the concept that if cholin are brought into the azara and shechted, or in this case, malika was done in the azara, and they weren't kodshim, then nevertheless, mid'oraisa, he's still allowed to eat them. It's only, so according to him, both these things, that you need shechita in the first place, and that for a bird, and that you can't eat chulin that was shechted or nimlak in the azara, both those only did rabbanon. Well, very well then, the same chachamim who said, according to him, that you need to be mechanech your son, and therefore that you can make him a nazir, are the same ones who said you can, in this case, we can go according to the dinim d'arais. Tosfos actually prefers the girsa that the Gemara is not bringing in Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, because where exactly do we see that Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda is saying anything in this regard? We're going to have just the opposite now. We're going to bring a braisa now where Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda seems to say that the implication of something Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says is that these things are daraisa and therefore there are certain. The Gemara is going to end up working it out that we can understand him on the basis of saying that they're only drabanan, but it's still not that straightforward for the Gemara to assume it as a given that's how it's so. So the Mefarish says, okay, the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds this way, but Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos prefers the Girsa that we don't have Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda involved over here, just Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, and they explain that actually there are two Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chaninas in Shas. The usual Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is a Talmud of Rish Lakish, but you also have, on the other hand, a Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda who was a Tana, who therefore is before Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish is one of the early Amoraim. In which case, earlier in the sugya, when we started the sugya and we said what the basis is for the father to be making his son a nazir, we had Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina saying in the name of Rish Lakish. So now Tosfos says it should actually be the other way around. Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, Rish Lakish saying in the name of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. And the same thing over here, then, we would say that now we're talking about Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the Tana. And we're going to say that the following braisa that we're going to so the following braisa that we're going to quote is actually going to be from him rather than Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so does he really hold that? V'hatanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, don't we learn in a braisa that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, we're going to point to Tosfos, it should be Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, minayin v'chata sa'ov shibal asafik she'ena nechelas. How do we know that if a chatas ha'oif is brought for a suffix, then the kohenim don't eat it? Now, you have a bunch of cases where you can bring a chatas ha'oif from suffix. One example would be if a person is not sure whether they were a zav or a zava. So they're in both a zav who's had three ra'iyas and a zava who's had a flow of blood for three or more days consecutively, they have to bring a korban. But if there's a suffix, whether it was full three times or full 3 days, then it's a chata soif a bala suffix. Another example would be a woman who gave birth, or a woman who miscarried, and she's not sure whether it's the kind of miscarriage that would require her to bring a korban. So how do we know Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that such a chata soif is not eaten? Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk says, The pasuk says a person who has a flow of ziva, a man or a woman. So makish nekeva lazocha. So thereby the Torah is making a hekish between a woman a zava and a man a zav. The comparison is ma zocha may be korban al avadai, the same way as a man when he becomes a zav brings a chatas for a case of vadai, for a case where he knows that so for the vadai would be, in other words, not involving ziva, but just so Tosfos actually discusses a couple of possibilities what the Gemara can mean over here about vadai. One of them being that it means plain and simple, never mind zava, just the plain case. If a person does an aveda which makes him chayav a chatas, then he brings a chatas for it. And obviously that applies equally well to a man or a woman. In fact, you don't even really need a hekesh for that. We know that in general, when the Torah says a mitzvah and it says it only in Lashon Zachar, then it means both men and women. But the point is, in other words, now that we know that basis, that men and women both bring a korban for a vadai, now instead we can use this hekesh between a zav and a zava to teach us something else. So first, at ma zocha may be korban on a vadai, just like a male brings a korban for a vadai, for any aveira that makes him chayav chatas that he did deliberately. So also a woman will bring a korban for a vadai. And so far, then we know then that a woman, if she's a zava, if she's a definite zava, is going to be bringing a korban. Tosfos gives a different explanation. Another way of understanding it is we are talking about a zav and a zava. But imagine that a zav and a zava had relations. Now a zav is Tomei, but there's no Isser on him to have relations. Practically speaking, it means that anything he touches or lies on is going to become Tomei, so he's going to be spreading Tumah, but it's not Osir for him. On the other hand, to have relations with a Zava is an Isser Kodesh. So if that happens, then just like the man is bringing a Chatas, if it was B'shevig, so she's also bringing a Chatas, because both of them are equally Chayav in the Isser Kodesh. And the hekesh continues, Uma zocha, maybe I'm a suffix. Just like now, a man brings a korban for a suffix, which again, there's two ways of understanding that. We can mean a suffix of a regular kind of iser, where he's bringing an oshim tolui. And we can also mean a suffix where he's a suffix, whether he was a zov. At the kevam of yala suffix, the same way a woman will bring a chatas oif for a suffix. So again, the same way, for example, as a man is not sure whether he did an aveda that makes him chayav kares and he brings an oshim tolui, the same way a woman who is not sure whether she's a zava is going to be bringing a chatas for that suffix. But then we continue, and further continues the b'raisa. Just like with a man, the same species of korban, the same general type of korban that he brings for a vada, he brings for a suffix. Meaning, so if a man does something that a man or a woman, for that matter, the dinim of kores and of chatas apply equally well to men and women, but they're phrased in the Torah and the masculine. But if a man does an isser that makes him chayav kares, that would have made him chayav kares for his b'mezid, here he did it b'shergig, he's bringing a chatas. What kind of chatas? In almost all cases, it's a chatas of an animal. You have the rare exceptions of korban or the v'yored, but other than that, basically a chatas is of an animal. So he brings that for a vadai, and similarly, who maybe on a suffix. Similarly, he brings an animal for a suffix. In that case, he brings an oshim tolui, but an oshim tolui is also an animal. The same way, then, when a woman, we know that she brings a korban for a vadai, namely, when she's definitely a zava, she brings two birds, as a chatas and an oila. The same way, when there's a suffix, whether she was a zava or a yeledes, then she also brings the same two korbanas. So that's, in other words, the point is, the fact that the pasuk is mentioning of Zachar v'lanim keva teaches us this comparison, that just like with a man, you draw a comparison between the Vadai and the Safek, which means, in other words, that you have the Vadai where he did something that's chayav katas, versus the Safek where he's not sure whether he did, and therefore he brings an Oshin Toloi. The same way we draw an analogy, and we say in both cases he's bringing an animal as a korban, the same way we draw an analogy between a woman when she's a Zava, or any other case where she has to bring, where she has to bring korbanos, where she brings for a Safek just as much for a Vadai. And at the same time, And again, Tosfos points out one way of understanding the scenario that the Braisa is mentioning is that we would say we're talking about where he's a Zav and she's a Zava, and they had relations, and therefore now they both become Chayav Achatas, because having relations to the Zava is one of those things that the Mezid is Kares and the Shogig is Achatas. Now continues the Braisa with the punchline. Well, in that case, if you're going to compare, then you're going to say, you should say then, that just like a man, if he's bringing a korban for a suffix, then that korban is eaten, because if he's bringing an oshem toleri, then that korban is like any other oshem, and it gets eaten by the koyanim. You should say also that if a woman is bringing a korban for a suffix, then, namely, for example, where she's a suffix, where she was a zover or yeledis or what have you, then you would say that that korban should be eaten. Or marta, but the braisa says, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda says, no, loy, you can't say that. Ima marta bezacher, because after all, there is a key distinction. If you were, for this, we have to say, in other words, Tosfos says, the hekesh cannot extend to that detail, that both korbanos that are for a suffix should be eaten. Because imamarta bezacher shekein isur echad. Because when it comes to a man bringing an oshin toloi, or a woman for that matter, but again we're using a man because we're drawing a comparison between a man versus a woman, as it says in the pasuk. We want to find a case that applies specifically to a woman, namely a zava or a yeledis, and therefore we're drawing an analogy with an oshin toloi. But yeah, a woman equally well could be in a scenario of bringing an oshin toloi. Anyway, but shekein isur echad. You only have one potential isser in that. You only have one potential isser, namely, what if he didn't do the Avera? So the classic case of an Oshem Toloi is, for example, a person had two pieces of meat in front of him. One's Chelev, one's Shum, and he ate one of them, and now the other one's lost, and he's not sure which one he ate. If he ate the Chelev, if he knows he ate the Chelev, he'd be bringing a Chafas. If he knows he ate the Shum, he wouldn't be doing anything, because he has a stuff, because why he's bringing an Oshem Toloi? Conceivably, maybe he didn't do the isser at all. Conceivably, what he ate was the shuman. And then it comes out what he's doing is cholin la'azara. And yet the Torah overrides that and says that he goes ahead and brings his korban. Toma ben akeva, sheshnei yisurin. How do you compare to a woman where there were two potential yisurin involved? And now we're going to explain what the two yisurin are. So therefore, the bottom line is that the Braisa is saying that you can't fully compare. We can compare a zohar to an akeva to the extent that we say that a woman, when she's a suffix zohar, suffix yeledis, or what have you, that she brings a korban, because of that suffix, but we can't extend the hekesh so far as to say that it should be eaten, because we have that key difference, because there are two potential isurim involved. Now, the Gemara analyzes, my shnei isurim, what do we mean by two isurim? Wav isur nevela v'cholin ba'azara. The pashtus, we mean, number one, that it would be nevela, because again, if she didn't have to bring the korban, then the malika that was done to the bird makes it nevela, because it wasn't a regular shita. And that it's potentially cholin ba'azara. And therefore, we're saying that because of that, there's a reason why her korban should not be eaten. So therefore, the result is she does bring the korban, because that's what the hekesh tells us. On the other hand, the korban, the chatas, is not eaten by the koyanim as it usually would, because you have two potentially surim instead of one, if in fact the korban was unnecessary. And from this is where we learn throughout Shas the concept that you have when there's a suffix, whether a woman gave birth or was a zava, or even there are cases even it applies to a man also. Again, if there's a man who's a suffix zav, was a suffix of, then again, also, he also brings two birds, and again, the chatas is not eaten for the same reason.
One's a chatas, one's
an oila, so the oila is brought on the mizbeach anyhow, and the chatas usually would be eaten by the kohen, and when it's brought all the suffix, then it's not. So therefore, so you take it outside. You take it outside the Azara and burn it. You don't burn it on the Mizbeach. You leave it to general things that are supposed to be eaten. You can't burn on the Mizbeach. So here you wait until you usually the rule is to Ubert Sarasa. You have to wait until it spoils and then they burn it. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a similar thing with a Nazir. A Nazir becomes Tame, which is what the subject was of our Sylvia over here. Brings two Karbanas, among which are two birds, and the same thing. If he has a Suffet, whether he was ever a Nazir in the first place, or he's a Suffet, whether he became Tame, same thing. He's going to be bringing birds, and the Chatas is not going to be.
But also he also doesn't bring a behemoth?
He does bring a behemoth as well, but the behemoth, fine, is an Osham. So we will talk about later in the Masechta the case of a Suffolk Nazir or a Suffolk Tameh. It is going to get a little more complicated than that. You're right. But anyway, the point is that we have many cases where a person brings a Chatas HaOifal HaSuffolk, but it's not eaten. And why? Because the Braisa is saying, because there are two Isurim. Well, if the two Isurim over here are Nevela and Chulin Bazara, now, so evidently, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, the Tana of this Braisa, or according to Tosfos, is Girsa, Rabbi Yossi ben Hanina, must hold that these Isurim are Daraisa. Both the fact that the bird would have required Shchita, and said he'd been Malika, and the fact that it was brought in the Azara and killed over there with Malika when it's Chulin, and therefore it should be also to eat. So it sounds like he's saying they're both Yisurim Daraisa. So what are you telling me, Anuman Aleph, that according to Rosh Lakish's understanding, the father can make the son a Nazir because, and Dirabbanan because of Chinuch? So what happens if the son becomes Tameh? How are we bringing a Chatas HaOif and the Kohenim are eating it? If the whole thing is Midrabanan, how can that override Isurim Min HaTorah? And then the point is, we wanted to say that Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi ben Hanina holds that Ein Shchit of Oif Min HaTorah and Chulin Bazara are not Daraisa, but based on this Braisa, it seems to be not so. The answer is, the Gemara answers the proof with question, Maskifor of Acha Breid Rav Ika, Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika answers back, the Duma Mechayiv Alei Mishum de Meschazi Kitrein Isurin de Rabbanan. Maybe in fact the reason is that you'd be Chayiv Tosfos and the Rosh take out the words Mechayiv. That is, that we're not really talking about anybody being Mechayiv, but just because the two Isurim are de Rabbanan. In other words, fine. It's not Isurim Daraisa. Midaraisa, yes. If this bird was brought as a korban because of a suffix, you would be able to eat it. But he's saying the fact that in practice we don't is because there are two Isurim Dirabbanan over here. The fact that the Chachamim said that you do have to, that you do have to shech birds, and the fact that the Chachamim said you can't eat Chulin Bazara, so therefore the result of that is that we're not eating them. But Midaraisa, we would have been allowed to, just like an Oshin Tov. So we can answer, according to Rish Lakish, that the Braisa is not referring to the Braisa when it's saying that you don't eat them, is talking on a Dirabbanan level, that you don't eat them. Well, Rish Lakish is not bothered by that, because fine, he can say, okay, so the Chachamim said that, the Chachamim said in this particular case, you have to be Mechanech your son, therefore you can make him a Nazir. So therefore, fine, in this case, then the Chachamim are going to waive their two Gzeiras, their two Tachonis, Dirabbanan, and say that this Korban can be eaten if the boy becomes Tamei, just like any other Nazir Tahor.
There's
the Kohenim eating at that point. In other words, we're waving this issue for the Kohenim because the Chachamim wanted to make that the father should be able to make his son a Nazir. So Tosfos points out, actually, I mean, the fact is, in the Braisa, we're talking about a Hekesh, we're talking about a complete Drosha. So what do you mean if you're telling me that the Isurim, the Braisa is referring to, are Drabanan, so how do those come into the picture? The fact is that you have Daraisa, you have a Hekesh, and how can a Drabanan override that? And in fact, you have a concept, Ein Meshivim BeHekesh. Once you have a Hekesh, then you can't override it based on logic. So leaving aside even Daraisa or Drabanan, if we have a Hekesh, how can we undo part of that Hekesh because we find Isurim?
The Hekesh again,
as it says, was Zohar v'la Nekeva. So we say in the same way as a Zohar brings a korban for a suffix, so does a Nekeva. So Tosfos answers, and the Rosh also discusses this, that the Hekesh is a drosha gemura in the sense that if, for example, if a woman miscarried and she's not sure whether it was a miscarriage or not, that she's bringing a chatas. Without the hechter, she wouldn't have known that in the first place. But the fact that we're saying it's not eaten is only a chumra d'rabbanan midaraisi. You would have been able to eat it again because we would say in shchita lo'if minatorda, and that and cholin shenishchatu ba'azara is also not d'raisa. Then we would say that it would be a full drasha, so therefore that would tell us she'd be able to bring that chakas. So now, on the other hand, according to the opinion that cholin shenishchatu ba'azara is an isur d'raisa, which the Gemara discusses elsewhere in Shas, and according to the opinion that a bird has to be shechted min haTorah, then we would say it is a full-fledged drasha, and then we would say that yes, what we're saying is that the korban has to be brought and midaraisa would be eating it. So the same Torah that would be telling us that a woman brings a chata sa'if in a case of a suffix like that would also tell us that she that in that case the kohenim don't eat it because of the suffix. The point is, in other words, so we could take it either way. The braisa could be going according to the opinion that these is surim are daraisa, but it could also be going according to the opinion that these things are derabanan and midaraisa. You would have been able to, and then midaraisa we would have been able to eat the birds. Elsewhere, also Tosfos points out that the Hekesh, after all, teaches us not only that you're allowed to bring it ala sotik, but that you have to. That the hechter comes in, because otherwise we don't need the hechter, really. If we were to say that ein shchita lo'if in haTorah, and we were to say that chulin ba'azara are not daraisa, then with daraisa there would be no problem with bringing a chatas ha'if ala sapik, because so what? The koyanim can eat it, the birds are not to be shechted anyway, and chulin me'azara are not daraisa anyway. But without that, without the hekesh, we wouldn't have, according to that opinion, we wouldn't have known that you have to bring a chata sa'if ala sofik in these kinds of cases. The hekesh teaches us that you have to. Anyway.
And this whole thing that we want the father to be built to teach son to be
a nazir, yeah.
What's about that we say about being a nazir, on the other hand, is not a good thing?
So that's what we said, that it's true that being a nazir is not such a good thing. On the other hand, though, there was a chinuch over here in Precious. He's teaching his son to be able to abstain from things that he should be staying away from.
Young child.
So a young child, yeah. So the point is, in other words, okay, so we've gone through every possible angle on Nazirus, and we've shown how, according to Rish Lakish, it can still be made to work, even if we say that this Nazirus exists only Drabban. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Can we say that this is actually a Machloikas Tanoi? And sometimes, by the way, when the Gemara says lema, sometimes it means, and in fact, it ends up that that's going to be later. We're going to have an example later down on the Amud where the Gemara is going to say lema katanoi. Shall we say that something is like a machloek or a lema hani tanoi, and in fact, it remains that way. Many times when the Gemara says lema katanoi, the Gemara ends up saying that no, not necessarily. Sometimes you have it actually stays that way. Anyway, lema katanoi. Should we say that this machloekas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is actually a machloekas tanoim? From which we can derive from that machlokas tanoim whether the nizirus of a boy is whether his father puts on him is daraisa or drabban. A braisa says ad mosay madris bnei b'nazir, up until what age is the father able to make his son a nazir? Ad shiyavi shtei sairus divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says until the boy develops shtei sairus, which then he becomes a gadol. And that has to be he's at least 13, and then he develops shtei sairus. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Oimer, Ab Sheyagia La'Oinas Nedarim. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, in earlier time, once the boy reaches Oinas Nedarim, the time in his life when he's able to make Nedarim, and they would be chal, namely during his 13th year. We learned about this in Nedarim, that once a boy is 12 or a girl is 11, they enter what's called Oinas Nedarim. At that point, if they make a neder, we ask them, do you know what a neder is? Do you know to whom a neder is addressed? And if they say, yes, we know that it's to Hashem, then their neder is chal.
That's the year before the Bar.
The year before Bar Bas Mitzvah, respectively. So, and Rav Yosef Yehuda says that once that point is reached, then the father can't be madir the son as a nazir anymore.
The son has to do himself.
Then that's right. So now, my love, Tanoi. So shouldn't we assume then that the underlying machloikas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda is about that point? The Rebbe saw a halacha he ben Nazir. Rebbe holds halacha Moshe v'Sinai. So therefore, the afagav yehigia la'onas nedarim. So even though the boy has reached onas nedarim, still the father has the ability to madulei v'ozil. The father still has the ability to make him a Nazir. Ad demaisi shtei sairus until he reaches shtei sairus. Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, the amrach yehigia la'onas nedarim. Whereas Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, who would say that until he reaches onas nedarim, sover he would hold kedei l'chamcha v'mitzvus. That the only reason for it is to educate him. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say, once the son is out of the father's rishus relative to Nedarim, when he has the ability to make his own Nedarim, then the father is no longer chayev to be mechanech him in that. In other words, even though he's not bar mitzvah yet, the father still has a field of chinuch, but not as far as things that the boy can already do on his own, namely Nedarim. So then in that case, it would come out, the machlokas is exactly the same as the machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish.
The Shtei Sairus has a connection to what?
Shtei Sairus makes him a gadol, then he becomes a gadol for all purposes. So if a boy develops Shtei Sairus before he's 13, nothing happens. The Gemara elsewhere calls them shruma. It's considered like a mole that grows hair. It's not considered the normal simonim of gadolus. Only if he's 13 and then develops Shtei Sairus. Most of the time, by the way, we say when a boy turns 13 or a girl turns 12, most of the time we don't need to actually physically examine them. We're going to have an example further down on the onward where you do, but in things that are daraisa, you need to. We learned in Yevamos, for example, for Yibum, for Chalitza, for example, you need to actually do a physical examination. You can't rely on the Chazaka that most children that age have Shtei Sairus. When it comes to things that are banan, we can, which is how, for example, a 13-year-old can daven by the Omer, or lead benching, or whatever, because those things only did abanan. Or count for a minion, or whatever. Yeah. Anyways.
By Shtei Sairus.
By 12, same idea.
Oh, so 12, not before 12.
Not before 12, also not. You have the possibility that we learned about in Yevamos, you have Bonim, Harein, Kisimonim, that if a girl gives birth, then that can be considered like a Simonim of Gadlos. Maybe that works even before she's 12, although we said in general a girl before 12 is not even going to be able to carry a pregnancy successfully to term. But anyway, yeah. But basically the Simonim of Gadlos, of Shtei Sairus, only have effect after 13 or 12, respectively.
Size is one case over here.
Yeah. Anyway. So now, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say that once the boy is old enough to be an Onas Nedarim, then already the father, the boy already has the ability to make a Neder of Nezirus on his own. So therefore, now the father is not Mechoyev to do that. Right now, Tosfos points out, the Gemara is assuming that both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the concept of Mufla Samach La'ish is only Dirabanan, that the Raisa of boys Nedarim would be Nedarim only from when he's 13 and develops Shtei Sairus, and the Dirabanan from when he's 12 is Nedarim would be Chal. So anyway, so if we understand it like that, then it's the same Machloka as Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. The Gemara answers Amri. The Bnei Yeshiva said Loi, not necessarily. The Kula Alma Halacha Ibn Nazir. Both Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda might hold that it's Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai that a father can make a son a Neder, a Nazir. The Hochel B'Muflas Somach L'Ish Kamifli. The Machloikas can be what is the nature of this concept of Muflas Somach L'Ish? Where does it come from? Rebbe Sava Muflas Somach L'Ish Midrabbanon. Rebbe holds that this whole concept is only Dirabbanon. So the fact that according to Rebbe, the father has the ability to make a son and nazir on a daraisa level, because again, we're saying they both hold that it's halacha l'moshe b'sinai, so that would be dachya d'rabbanan, and it would override the din d'rabbanan. The fact that we say that d'rabbanan, a boy has the ability to make his own nedarim from when he's 12 years old, but on the other hand, daraisa, the father has the ability to make him a nazir until he's 13, therefore Rebbe says that takes precedence, and therefore the father still has the ability to do that till he turns 13. And develops Shtei Sairus. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Sava Mufla Samach La'ish Daraisa. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will hold the concept of Mufla Samach La'ish is Daraisa. So therefore, you have two Daraisas, one against the other. So then, in that case, then the whole halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, that the father has the ability to make a son and nazir, would only be until Onas Nedarim, only until Mufla Samach La'ish.
So one holds both.
So they both hold. So that's the thing. So therefore, Rebbe holds the deadline is Shtei Sairus, because according to him, we ignore Mufla, because that's only Dirabanan. According to Rebbe Yosi, Rebbe holds that the deadline is Mufla, because at that point, then the Din Daraisa, that the son can make his own Nedarim, kicks in. So we don't have to say that they're arguing on whether the father making the son a Nazir is Daraisa or Dirabanan. The Borisema, or another way of understanding the Machloikas, so that again, it's not the same Machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan or Shlokish. And of course, we would prefer to do that, like we've talked about before, when the Gemara asks Leima Katanoim many times, the unspoken question is, well, if the Tanoim already argued on the exact same point, why are the Amoroi repeating that same argument over again? So if we can show it's a different Machloikas, then Rabbi Yochanan or Shlokish have good reason to be doing their own argument. So the Borisema, the Kula Alma, on the other hand, we could say that both Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda hold that the whole concept that a father makes a son a Nazir is only in order to be Mechanechem, so therefore it's only Dirabanan. So now we would say that also they both hold that Mufla Samoch La'ish, the concept that a boy's Nedarim from 12 years old can be Chal, if he knows what a Neder is. Both of them would agree that that's Dirabanan, but Rebbe holds, given that both of them are Dirabanan, the father's chiyuv to be mechanech, his son, applies even when he's mufla samoch la'ish, even though at that point, the Dirabanan, the boy has the right to make his own nedarim, but nevertheless, the father still has, during that year, the right instead to make his son a nazir. And again, unless the son protests, then the nazirus will be chal. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says you only have until Onus Nedarim, he's going to say that Chachamim, when they came up with the concept of Chinuch, they did not say that it should override Mufla Samoch Leish. In other words, that the concept that the father is Mechanech is only until the son has the ability to start doing these mitzvahs on his own. Once there comes a point when he can do the mitzvah and it can be Chal on his own, Namely that he can make the Dorim and they'll stick. Then therefore we would say that the father's chiyuv to be mechanechem is over, and now we would say that the son either independently becomes a nazir or doesn't at all. Tosfos also points out, if we're going to say in this last answer that everybody agrees that the whole concept that a son becomes a nazir because of his father making him a nazir is only dirabanan, then to go back to the question before about eating the chatas ha'oif, if the son becomes tameh, the answer would be that yes, the kohenim are not going to be able to eat the korban like any chatas ha'oif that comes ala sopik. Because dirabanan, we're going to say that it would still be osur.
If it happens like he has a 30-day mesidus, and he gets 15 days down, he develops stage tires, and then he says,
So Tosfos actually mentioned on the Mishnah, once he develops stage tires, then that's it. The fact that the father made him a nazir, it's the equivalent, for example, of the husband being mefer for his wife or something. That's it. The nazirus goes away unless the son himself wants to reaccept it.
But if he doesn't reaccept it,
then that's it. It's as if there was a nazirus that got interrupted by a farah. Well, it doesn't matter whether Mega's guy is or no. Either way, he's not going to bring the korbanos. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then we're going to have the examples that we're going to have what we said in the Mishnah that in that case, if you have Morris Stumus versus Morris Mephoroshus versus animals, and you're going to have all the various dinim that apply. Same thing as would happen if the son was Moicha when he was still a cut. The same thing would apply also if he develops Shay Cyrus. Yeah, that's what we said in the Mishnah, that if he is Moicha as a cotton, or the relative, we said the relatives also can be Moicha on his behalf. Yeah. That depends what age the kid is. I mean, if the kid is 3, his Machar is not going to mean much. If the kid is 10 and he's Moicha, then it means something.
So we go according to what he can understand.
No. So that's what we're talking about. The father can make him a Nazir, but the son or his relatives can be Moicha at any time. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Lema Hani Tanoi Ki Hani Tanoi. Should we say now that these Tanoim that we just discussed, Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Ben Yehuda, are having the same machlokas as earlier Tanoim from the following Braisa? And again, this is going to be one of those examples. This is going to be one of those rare examples where it actually stays that way. Where the Gemara is going to end up saying that yes, that is how it is, that Udiyo Tanoim argued on this, and now later Tanoim argued on the implications of it. That you could have, because during the time of the Tanoim, not necessarily the same way as among the Amoroim, Not necessarily did all the Amoraim know what all the other Amoraim had said until it was all assembled together in the Gemara. The same way, later Tanoim don't necessarily always know what earlier Tanoim were discussing among themselves, and therefore they could end up repeating. The Gemara is bothered by, in other words, when you have Amoraim repeating a machlokas of Tanoim, because they should be expected to know that machlokas, but when you have between Tanoim, then sometimes it can happen that it stays that way.
I think somewhere in the bubble or somewhere in
the... No, almost all Tanoim were now Tisrael, so now. Anyway.
The Tanoim is
Tanoim or Tanoim Chacham of the Mishnah and the Braise. Yeah, so in general, the Gemara is going to say that not, but sometimes. Anyway, so the Tanya, we learn in a Braise, Maisev Rav Chanina Shehidire Ovi B'Nazir. It happened with Rav Chanina that his father made him a Nazir, and he was over 13 years old. The question was whether he developed Tosfos learns. The question was whether he developed Shtei Sinus. The Hevir lifted Rav Gamliel, so the father brought the son to brought Rav Chanina to Rav Gamliel to check him. Boy, Rav Gamliel boidke later in Hevi Shtei Sairus and Lehevi, and Rav Gamliel was going to physically examine him to see whether he developed Shtei Sairus, and if he had developed Shtei Sairus, then we would say the father is Nazirus, has no consequence, and if he hadn't yet developed Shtei Sairus, then the father still has the ability to make him a Nazir.
We don't look at the 13.
So we don't, because it's, even if he's 13, if he doesn't have, this is a Din D'Oraisa we're talking about over here on the face of it. So if with Dinim D'Oraisa, again, we don't use, with Dinim D'Rabbanan, we can use Chazaka D'Rava, as the Gemara calls it elsewhere. But here it's a Din D'Oraisa, we can't use that. We have to actually physically check, just like by Chalitza.
And why is D'Oraisa?
Because we're talking about Nizirus, because we're talking about Nizirus, which is a Din D'Oraisa, and because there's going to be Karbonis involved and so forth.
Right, and when you cut to the it wasn't
D'Oraisa? No, that's the point. If we're saying that the father has the ability to make his son a Nazir, if we say that that is Halach L'Moshe V'Sinai, then it means, in other words, that then it expires. It expires when he develops Shtei Sairus. Think of it. If I say about, if a father says about his son, who's already a grown man, he says, you're a Nazir, nothing happens, right? So the question is, now, was he still in the age when the father could say that, and it would stick? On the other hand, so that's one version, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, but Rabbi Yossi says, no, it wasn't to know if he had Shtei Sairus. Leidei Negia La'unas Nedorim in Wab, Rabbi Gamliel was gonna examine him verbally to find out whether he reached Unas Nedorim. Rabbi Gamliel was going to ask him, do you know what a Neder is? Do you know that a Neder is addressed to Hashem or not? So in other words, it comes out so far that they seem to be arguing on the same machlokas as Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rebbe, had said the deadline is Shtei Sairus, so that's the Tanakama of the Braisa, is saying that Rav Gamliel was going to check whether he had Shtei Sairus. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda had said until he's Oinas Nedarim, and until he's Muflas Samachlish, which is 12, and that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying in our Braisa. Anyway, continues the story. Omaloi, but Rav Chanina was all of 13 years old now, or 12 years old now, was saying, he says, Rebbe, I'll fit style of a king. Don't go to the trouble of checking. Im kotnani, because either way, if I'm still considered a kotn, then fine, I'll be a nazir because my father said so. Im godlani, and if I'm actually considered an adult, if I already have Shtei Sairus, or if I'm already an earnest adorim, then I'll be a nazir on my own because I myself am willing to accept nazirus on myself. So either way, he's telling this 12 or 13 year old boy is telling him Gamliel, he knows his stuff, right? So Omer Rav Gamliel, Meshokei Aroshei, Rav Gamliel got up and kissed him on his head. Omer, and he says, Move to Chani Bezesh Moira Halacha B'Israel. I'm certain about this boy that eventually he will be teaching halachas among the Jewish people, because he sees already that Rav Chanina, already at such a young age, is so smart and so sharp and such a Yorei Shemayim, that he's saying that regardless, I'm not gonna be in a situation of Sofet Nezirus. Either way, I'm willing to accept it on myself. And sure enough, Omru, so they said, not very long past, until the Rav Chanina was taught to teaching halachas to the Jewish people. And in fact, there's a braisa in Tosefta of Yidda that quotes the story and says that, in fact, one of the Chachamim, Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok, says, not long after that, I saw him sitting in the yeshiva in Yavne and teaching over there. So
now he became someone great because someone passed away? Or?
No. He himself was a great person. Yeah. Anyway, so the point is, so let's figure out, So the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi and this Braisa are having the exact same machlokas as Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Braisa, whether the deadline is Shtei Sairus or whether the deadline is Onas Nedarim. Muflas Amuchlish, according to the Tanakama of the Braisa, is saying the same as Rebbe, Shtei Sairus. Therefore, he's saying Rav Gamliel was going to check the young Rav Chanina out, does he actually have shtei sairos? According to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, the deadline is muflas samachlish, and Rav Yosef says the same thing in the second braisa, and therefore Rav Gamliel was going to examine him verbally and see whether he knows what a neder is.
Oh, so depending on who, according to who,
if so according to who, what?
Just verbally checking or checking?
Or checking physically, right. Okay, now, the Gemara asks, here's a problem, though. So let's analyze what Rav Chanina said. Rav Chanina had said that one way or the other, I'm going to be a Nazir. So Bishlema or Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. So I understand according to Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, or actually, Hagoros Habach takes out the words Rav Yehuda, because we're talking about Rav Yosi of the last Braisa. Anyway, we understand his version that the deadline is Onas Nedarim. He says that the father can make the son a Nazir only until Onas Nedarim. Hainu Dekama, that's what, therefore, we can understand. Rav Chanina, the son, is saying, Im Kotn Ani Eye B'Shvil Abba. He says, if I'm considered a Kotn as far as the Dinim of Nedarim, if I still don't know what a Neder is, then I'll be a Nazir only because my father said so. And then otherwise, I'll make a Nazirus of my own. But according to Rebbe, that the deadline, the cutoff point is Shtei Sairos, how can he say, if I'm a Gadol, I'll be a Nazir on my own, after all, if he doesn't have Shtei Sairos yet, then he's still in the Rishus of his father, and it would be his father who has the ability to make him a Nazir. So when Rebbe says that the father has the ability to make his son a Nazir, until he develops Shtei Sairos, then it means that on the face of it, it means that only the father can do it and the son cannot do it. Even though he's already in Onas Nedarim, Rebbe is saying still the son does not have that ability yet, only the father does. So what would Rav Chanina mean with the words that otherwise if I'm a Gadol, I'll be a Nazir on my own? He's saying that if I'm a Gadol, I'll be a Nazir on my own. How is he? He's still in the Rishus of his father because what does he mean? In other words, he's saying that if I've reached Onas Nedarim, the Gemara is assuming that if I've reached Onas Nedarim, then I'll accept Nezirus on my own. But at that point, he's still in his father's Rishus till he develops Shtei Sairos. So Ella. So rather, we have to understand the Omer Ehei B'Shvil Abba Ehei B'Shvil Atzmi. So no, what Rebbe means is when Rav Chanina says I'll be on my own, or I'll be because of my father, or I'll be because of my own. What he means is, in other words, the point of the Gemara's question was, the Gemara assumed that either way, the question was not whether Rav Chanina had Shtei Sairos. The question was that he's telling Rav Gamliel, Al Tistar Lebedkeni, he's saying, don't bother asking me whether I know what a neder is, because either way, one way or the other, I'll either my father impose the Nezirus on me or I'll accept it myself. Now we're answering that no, Rebbe actually means that the question was, does he have Shtei Sairos or not? When he says, if I'm a cotton, he doesn't mean if I'm a cotton below the age, if I'm a cotton and I don't yet know what a neder is, versus if I'm a godel and I know what a neder is. He means if I'm a cotton that I don't have yet Shtei Sairos, or if I'm a godel and I have Shtei Sairos. One way or the other, I'll be a Nazir. So one way or the other, he's saying that I'll be a Nazir. So good. In other words, he's saying that, again, the Gemara assumed that when he's saying, if I'm a Gadol and if I'm not a Gadol, means as far as mentality. And now he's saying that, no, I mean as far as the physical thing of whether I have Shtei Sairos or not. So, in fact, Tosfos says that maybe there's a possibility that you're not Gerdus in the Braisa, the words Im Gadol. Because what do you mean, if I'm a Gadol? He knows whether he's a Gadol or not. But he means, in other words, that if I have Shtei Sairos or not. But now the Gemara asks another question. The problem is if he had Shtei Sairos before his father ever made him a Nazir, then fine. So actually Tosfos brings a different girsa over here. It's not that different really than what we have in the Gemara. If he had two Sairos before the father made him a Nazir, then Meikra koyim minizirus delay. Then to begin with, if Ishai says shtei asayas meikra koyim minizirus delay, then good. Only the nizirus that he took on is going to be chal, and then 30 days are going to pass, and he'll bring this his karbonus. And all of a soif. And if on the other hand he only developed the shtei sidus afterwards, then koyim minizirus gavua. Then we'll say that the nizirus is because of what his father made him a nazir. And again he'll bring karbonus at the end of the nizirus, and that's that. So in other words, so there's no problem. But the icy the mitzi might. But what would happen if he developed the shtei sidus in the middle of the 30 days? So Tosfos explains that what happened was on the same day that his father made him the Nazir is the same day that his father brought him to Rabbi Gamliel to examine him. So if they examined him and right away found Shtei Sidus, then we would say that good. We would say it means that Rabbi Chanina is saying, fine, I'll take Nazirus on myself. Don't worry about my father's. And fine, then he has 30 days and then that's that. If they didn't check him that day, they checked him only at the end of 30 days, then we can assume that those 30 days were because of the Nazirus of his father. But what happens if he develops Simonim during the 30 days? How is he going to the Nazirus? As soon as the Shtei Sidus comes, the Nazirus that his father put on him is his bottle, and then how is he bringing Karbonus after 30 days? And Tosfos adds, you can't say that he's going to think, that Rav Chanina is going to think that fine, even if I develop simonim, I'm still willing to continue the nazirus that my father put on me. But still, how can he bring a korban because of that? He didn't specifically say I'm taking on a new nazirus. He just said that if one way or if the other way.
But then he understood that. From 12 already dead.
No, but the fact is, the question is, how at the end of 30 days, is he bringing a korbanus? How do we have enough of one or the other nazirus to, you have the father's nazirus expired once he developed Shtei Sidus, and then if there's going to be a new nazirus, it's going to be a new nazirus, but then a new 30 days has to be counted.
Right, but if he understood when he was 12, so then he really could do it on his own.
The fact is he didn't, though. The fact is, when his father put the nazirus on him, then the nazirus starts because of that. In other words, again, according to Rebbe, that the father had the ability to do it until he developed Shtei Sidus, we don't care about the fact that before that he was Muflas Somaflesh. Tosfos also adds, it's one thing in the Mishnah, when we had the original scenario of the father makes a son a Nazir, that you could ask the question, what happens if he develops Shtei Sidus in the middle? So then you could say, okay, you're talking about that the son is below age enough that the entire Nazirus is easily going to be able to pass long before he's of the age to develop Shtei Sidus. Again, if he develops Shtei Sidus before age 13, then anyway, we ignore them. So let's say the father makes him a Nazir on his 12th birthday, 30 days Nazirus. By the time the Nazirus is over, is long before his 13th birthday anyhow, so there's no problem. But here, on the other hand, it seems that the scenario was his father made him a Nazir after he was 13. The question was just whether he developed Shtei Sidus. He could develop them at any time. So therefore, the question is, what happens if it develops in the middle? Anyway, another way of Tosfos says, another way of explaining is that why does he's saying to Rav Gamliel, don't bother checking me. What do you mean? On the face of it, we still need to check to find out whether Shtei Sidus have developed in the middle. So it would work out well enough according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, who says that you have until it reaches Onas Nedarim, and then so now if he's in his 13th year, so now Tosfos explains reaching Onas Nedarim is not going to cancel the Nazirus. Yeah, according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, not only are we going to say the deadline is different, Onas Nedarim versus Shtei Sidus, but also we're going to say if father made his son a Nazir before Onas Nedarim, and then he reached Onas Nedarim, that's not going to cancel the Nazirus. If he develops Shtei Sidus, according to Rebbe, it will, but according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, Onas Nedarim is not going to cancel it. And then Tosfos also says that you could be talking about, again, that it was at the beginning of the 12th year and he's long before any age of Shtei Sidus. So according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, it would work well enough. According to Rebbe, who says you need Shtei Sidus, then what are you going to say? How are you going to, then how is he going to bring Korbanus? And the answer is, Amri, to the answer, but Rebbe, like a takanta, the Yosef delay, the Yosef davoy, you're right. According to Rebbe, the only way to fix it up, he would have to wait an extra 30 days. So he would have to wait, so there'd be the 30 days that his father put on him, then there would have to be an additional 30 days that he's accepting on his own, and only at the end of those 60 days, only then can he bring the korbanos, because now, no matter how you look at it, you have 30 days before the simonim or after the simonim, and you have a complete nazirus, either before the simonim or after the simonim, and therefore you're good. So that's what Rabbi Chanina is saying. According to that, he's saying that I'm willing to take on, if necessary, an extra 30 days of nazirus, as long as this way we have a definite nazirus one way or the other, and that way, no matter what I'm covered, and now when we bring the korbanos, then it's a valid thing to do.
Halfway through that he developed
so halfway through. So if he had just
from there he could start 30 days.
So then from practice from there he could start 30 days, right?
What happens according to like we just learned now, after the first 3 days he doesn't bring any carbonus?
So that's the thing. Yeah, I mean well Yachal Dvar just means you can't desecrate as a zero. It's fine. At most you would have Bal Ta'achal, but really Bal Ta'achal only kicks in only when Yom Tovim pass. So fine, you would have in this case though, because of the suffix, you have no choice. We're gonna have examples later in the Masechta where a person has a suffix involving his nazirus, where he has to delay his korbanos a long time. Fine, that's what it is. In the case of a suffix, is different. Okay. So let's start off the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, because again, we're trying to get a little ahead of ourselves. The Mishnah says, "Ho'ishma galaya ha'naziris hobi." Here's another difference between a man and a woman as far as nazirus. A man can shave and bring the korbanos using the nazirus of his father, which we touched on this the other day, meaning that if his father left money for korbanos, then the son can use it. But a woman cannot.
Cannot what?
Cannot use the money that her father left for her own korbanos. Ketzad, what is the scenario? Misha haya aviv nazir. Suppose a person's father was a nazir. The hifrish mois stumim al nazirus. So he set aside unspecified money for his nazirus. So he didn't say this is going to be for the chatas, this for the oila, etc. He just said this pile of money is going to be for the korbanos of my nazirus. Umets, and then he died. But omar, now the son says, harini nazir amunas shagaleach al mois abba. I will be a nazir on condition that I'm able to use the money that my father left for my korbanos. So then the din is he becomes a nazir and he's able to use that money for his korbanos. On the other hand, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Harei Lo Yuklu Nedava. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, no, in that case, in that kind of scenario, the money would go to Nedava. The Ein Zemek Galeach HaMazir HaSoviv. This is not the example. Ein Zemek Galeach HaMazir HaSoviv. This is not the example of a son being able to be to bring the korbanos based on his father's money. What is the scenario where that's not the case where the halacha applies? What is the example where he could? Misha Yehuva Oviv Nazirin. If the other way around, if to begin with, while his father was alive, he and his father were both Nazirin. The hifrish of a mois stumim nazirusai, and his father designated mois stumim for his nazirus, umesim, and he died, zehu shemagaleh ha-nazirus avir. That would be the case, says Rabbi Yossi, where he could, not where he's first taking on nazirus after his father died, but rather the other way around. Tosfos actually brings the girsa the other way around. The Tanakama is saying that if both of them were nazirim, that's when he can use it. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would be, Rabbi Yossi rather would be saying the other way around, that it's the other way around. When he's taking on nazirus now, then he can use his father's money. So in other words, the opinions would be exactly flipped around. So in other words, according to the gears that we have in front of us, the scenario was, the father died, the son is inheriting this money. Now he says, you know what, given that this was Moe's stumim, and it would have had to go to Nedava, instead of that, I may as well use them for korbanos of nazirus. Fine, I'm going to become a nazir for that purpose, and use that money for korbanos of nazirus. So the Tanakhama would say that would work, and Rabbi Yossi would say it would not. On the other hand, according to the other gears, say it the other way around, that if both of them are nazirim, then the Tanakhama says that you could use it because you were already nazir from beforehand, and Rabbi Yossi says that no, only if the other way around, only if now you took on nazirus, then now we're saying that now you can use that money towards that nazirus. Okay, so the Gemara asked my timer. So what's the reason behind this, din that the Mishnah says that this concept applies only to a man, not to a woman? That if a woman was in the same scenario, she inherited from her father and she wants to use the money for her korbanos of nazirus, she can't. So again, Rabbi Yechanan says this is a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that applies to nazirus. But the Gemara asks, Pshita. On the other hand, actually Tosfos explained, this is all part of Rabbi Yechanan's statement. Why do we need the halacha l'moshe b'sinai? Isn't it poshut? Only a son generally inherits from his father. A daughter does not. My lememra. Why do we need to say it? Ben yodesh asavid bas loy. A son inherits from his father. A daughter doesn't. And the answer is loit sricha. The reason why it's needed, the chiddush is the less by elabas. What if a man has only daughters? So you would think that halacha l'moshe misinai is that the inheritors are able to use the money, and that means in this case she's inheriting. Kamash malon halacha. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know that no, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai that says specifically a son. So even though in that kind of scenario a daughter can yarshin, but she cannot use the money for the korbanos of nezirus because that's a special halacha l'moshe misinai that this particular din applies only to a son inherited from his father, and not even if you have a case of a daughter inheriting from her father. Father, still, she can't use that money for this purpose. Even if she did Nezirus together with her father or right after him or whatever. So we'll discuss tomorrow in the Gemara. Bez Hashem, we said Rabbi Yossi is saying in the Mishnah, is he in fact arguing with the Chachamim, or is he not? And then we'll talk about various scenarios within that. Thank you.